The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again.
Everyone listening to this show was part of this inauguration, because without you, and of course the millions of others, he would not be president. He won by a hair, by a nose, and he won because of a few votes. You are a big part of today. You should have a festival in your own mind. And I want to know on the show today a couple of things. This is what I want to know. How do you feel now that Trump is president? Feel. F-E-E-L. I can give a speech about his speech. I can give a speech about the pomp and circumstance, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to listen to you, the listeners of the Savage Nation. I want to know how you feel today, right now, now that you know that Trump has taken office. Many of you are afraid that the outgoing maniac would pull a trick at the last minute, but thankfully he's such a low piece of work that all he wanted was a free ride on Air Force One to Palm Springs. Now, mind you, he has a house 2 miles away from the White House, but he had to milk the perks to the last second and fly on Air Force One all the way to Palm Springs, California, just to get the last ounce of freebies out of the festival of today. The fact is, it's a big day. It's a clarion call to begin Trump's war is what it comes down to. It is the beginning of Trump's war. And today I'm going to talk with you about what Trump's war is and how we, the people who elected him, must remain vigilant and retain our independence. And we're also going to talk about Trump's enemies list. That's right. There's a fantastic list of the enemies of Donald Trump. They're so stupid that they announce themselves. And it is the most comprehensive list of the leftist groups supporting the Disrupt J20 event that was attacking Donald Trump and will be attacking Trump all day today and in the future. These are the anarchists. These are the student morons. These are the left-wing communist bookstores. These are the propaganda distribution outlets. These are the anti-American websites. These are the hacker collectives. These are the shadowy leftist groups that are part of the worldwide radical movement to overthrow the United States of America and steal our freedom. It is a list put together by Lee Stranahan on Breitbart, which I'm going to read to you. What they've done conveniently is give Jeff Sessions a pocket list of groups that must be rooted out immediately. Listen to me very carefully. I live by the First Amendment. I live by free speech. I'm in total favor of speech of any kind, to be very honest with you, except speech which calls for violence and speech which tries to take away my freedoms and speech which tries to block the President of the United States illegally. They have named themselves. So what happened today in the speech is the issue. What happened today and what you witnessed today is the issue. Now, before we begin taking your calls at 855-400, how do you feel? I know how I feel. But if you don't know what you feel, if you're numb, and I'm not being sarcastic, try to imagine how you would have felt right now as you're listening to the Savage Nation if you had seen her up there, Hillary Clinton, taking the oath of office. When I turned the TV on this morning, I was infuriated. I was insane, incensed, almost to the point of enragement. When I watched the lowest of the low, Charles Schumer, giving a speech, I thought that this piece of work had been gone. He embarrassed himself in America during his speech at the inauguration. He gave such a disgusting speech, Schumer, that all you could do is hate him for it. All he did was bring up the Civil War and slavery on a day that we wanted to celebrate, let us say, out with the old and in with the new. There was Charles Schumer bringing up the Civil War in the most, how shall I say, stupidly pompous way you could ever imagine. shaking his head, thinking the world was going to pay every attention to him. He was an embarrassment to civilization, and yet he was up there. I don't know why he was there. I guess protocol demanded that Charles Schumer, or the person in his position, introduce Clarence Thomas to swear in the vice president. But I will tell you this. All Charles Schumer did was tell us over and over again why we threw Hillary Clinton and the Democrats out in over 1,000 seats. Never forget that it wasn't just Hillary Clinton who lost. President Obama was such a horrible divider and such a poor leader and such an all-around slacker that his party lost 1,000 seats during his reign of terror. That's right, 1,000 seats. No matter what you see on the news, no matter what the vermin in the media tell you, no matter what the fake newsers tell you, Obama presided over the death of the Democrat Party. Did you hear what I said to you? They lost 1,000 seats because of this goofball. So then I think it's over. I wake up, I turn on the TV. My luck, there's Charles Schumer in the most pompous, boring, horrendous speech about the Civil War you could ever imagine. That was the one-off note. Now, before we take the calls here on the show, this is a glorious day that you're always going to remember, the 20th of January, 2017. We all worked very hard for this day. This, for me, is a 22-year fight, personally. For 20 years, I've tried to see a day like today occur. Why? In plain English, no matter what Trump does or doesn't do, he's already saved the nation from the left wing's desire to roll us into a new world order. It just will not happen under him. That's number one. And in his speech today, he said some of the things that we did need to hear, and we'll play some of those. Now, many of you complain about me and about talk radio by saying that we exaggerate and that we omit. Well, let me read something to you. It's a one-liner. There was an author from many, many years ago named Bagehot. B-A-G-E-H-O-T. He wrote a single sentence on this issue, and he said this. He said, to illustrate a principle, you must exaggerate much, and you must omit much. Did you hear what I just said to you? That's what I do on radio. It doesn't mean I distort much. It doesn't mean that I lie. It means that I know how to illustrate principles. And my three principles have been, and continue to be, and will continue to be during the next 8 years, borders, language, culture. Did you hear? That's what it's going to be. What a change after 8 years of I, me. We heard the leader of our nation talking about you and we. From the look on Michelle Obama's face, there was a nightmare of anger and contempt. Anger and contempt on Michelle Obama's face like I have never seen before. And there was Obama sneering. Fighting back, sneering with his jaw clenching as Donald Trump spoke and took apart his agenda point by point in his speech. There was the idiot Charles Schumer, an embarrassment to Katz's Delicatessen. Charles Schumer is not fit to serve corned beef in a delicatessen in Manhattan, let alone to be introducing the vice president. But there was Schumer defiling the stage today by comparing the divisiveness of the Trump presidency to the Civil War itself. All I can say to you in New York, shame on you for voting for that piece of work. But remember this, and here's the good news. They lost. They lost, and they're doing nothing but showing their bitterness and their loss. They're trying to rile up the mobs in the streets of losers and miscreants who cannot believe that they can no longer continue to run roughshod over the American people. The vermin in the gutters who hate that they heard words about being proud of America. The filth from America and the world, rioting in the streets, breaking windows, setting things on fire, as they heard the Bible quoted and God mentioned so many times, I thought that they would commit suicide. The speech Trump gave was one we have not heard in so many years from the leader of this nation. He spoke about the love we all share for this country, the greatness it once held, and the greatness he hopes it will one day hold again. You heard positive statements about America that you have not heard in 8 years. And you heard talk of unity and a coming together for all Americans. And moreover, you heard a lot about God. You haven't heard about God in the 8 years that the golfer phony snake was in power. The golfer phony snake didn't believe in God. We all knew that. We knew he was an atheist, socialist, communist. But today we heard about God. We heard how God has blessed this nation. and how we will look to God again to guide us in our new president. It was phenomenal to learn that we have a president who actually believes these things and speaks about them. And here's another observation that I'd like to give you as we begin today's inaugural show on the Savage Nation. And it's an important one. We must reserve the right to be critical supporters of Donald Trump. You understand what I'm saying to you? We put the country in his hands today, and we expect to hold him accountable. Do you understand that? You must not become slavish worshipers of any man, including Donald Trump. You must still retain your right to be displeased with the president when you feel that he has failed you and does not support the goals and principles that we elected him to enact. We all have great optimism for America now that our long national nightmare of the Obamas is gone. But I advise you to tread with caution, because we do not know what to expect. And that's exactly why I wrote a book that, frankly, Donald Trump should have written. I was on my bicycle before the show, and I was thinking about my book, Trump's War, Trump's Plan to Save America. It's a strategy, a number of chapters, all the things we believe in, and all the groups that are going to oppose him, including the Republican Party, and all these issues. I said, you know, this should rightly be called My War by Donald Trump. That's really what the book is about. I want you to think about this. Take my picture off the front of that cover. Put Donald Trump on that cover and change the title from Trump's War to My War, My Plan to Save America by Donald Trump. And that's what Trump's War is really all about. And I am sure that somewhere in the next number of months, Donald and I will talk about the ideas in Trump's War. Well, at this juncture, I'm going to go back to the callers. As you would expect, the lines are sold out. How do you feel now that Trump is president? What did you actually feel in your heart and your mind today as you watch this? This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to take your calls. Thank you for listening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Vermin in the streets will go back where they belong, which is the sewers they crawled out of. There's MSNBC with cameras on the six anarchists that they could dig up from the mental hospitals, waiting for them to riot or beat up a police horse. There are more reporters from NBC than there are anarchists in Washington, D.C. right now, and more cameras trained on fewer vermin than you could ever imagine. But there they are, hoping that they'll riot or beat something up or break down a wall or set someone on fire. Those days are over. They don't understand there's a new sheriff in town. They don't understand this is not going to go on for much longer. They don't understand that their days of rioting, their days of rage are over. Let me tell you something else. Our days of rage have just begun. Our days of rage have just begun. It was so beautiful to see on television today the bikers for Trump as they were interviewed. And they said, well, we love Donald Trump because he speaks from the heart. We love Donald Trump because he's one of us. We love Donald Trump because he's for the people. Well, the reporter who asked them that just was nonplussed by it. She didn't know what to say. These bikers are really tough dudes. They're the wall of meat. And apparently, the wall of meat has not yet met the black-hooded college boys who were apparently off for the day again from studying Sociology 101. But we don't know what's going to happen, because very soon the president will lead the inaugural parade right down the center of the city, and that's when the vermin will try to break through the police lines. That's when they'll try to act up and show how tough they are. I don't think they're going to get too close. This is not Baltimore. This is not Ferguson, Missouri. This is our capital. This is our president. This is our White House. This is our day. And I guarantee you that they're going to wind up where they belong, which is on the short side of a nightstick. WJJF, Liz, quietly tell us, how do you feel today? First caller on this inauguration day, how do you feel today?
Mr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I feel so proud. I just still want to cry. I cried watching on my cell phone during my lunch hour. His speech was impeccable. It came right to everybody's heart. And I do believe, Mr. Savage, if it wasn't for you and your listeners, he would never have gotten into office.
Let's say this, we played a big part in it. Let's put it to you that way. I mean, the victory was marginal in terms of votes in different states. We played a very big role on the 300 and some odd stations, or 250, I don't know how many I'm on. But very critical markets were required for this victory, and I think the Savage Nation played a big role. But that's not what we're looking for here, Liz. We're not looking for a slap on the back. We're looking for Obama to be gone and for Trump to slap the baby of America on the back and make her live again. Thank you for that call. How do you feel today? I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I'm a little numb. How do you feel? WABC, Ari, line two, fire away. How do you feel right now?
Michael, I'm cautiously optimistic. As a 20-year-old in New York City, I could tell you that I think his speech reached more minorities than any of these pathetic excuses for a news organization can possibly imagine. I know that the blacks and Hispanics are more for Trump than they even know. Some of the biggest volunteers in Trump Tower in New York City were black. They don't even want to talk about it. It's the biggest story the media won't cover.
You know what? I'm not even interested in race anymore. I don't want to hear any more about it. I'm sick of it. Before Obama came along, we weren't even talking about race. We're living with what was and trying to get along. Then all of a sudden, the con man came along, and he used the act he's used his whole life to get where he was, which is to divide people and turn people against each other and talk about Jim Crow and talk about the horrors of the Civil War. He wouldn't stop. It's over. Let's not discuss race anymore. I'm sick of it. Can we just forget the issue of race? The race baiter is gone. Hail to the chief. That's all. I don't want to hear any more about what ethnic group was where. I don't care. All I care about is Obama gone, Trump wins, close the borders, beat the ISIS, and that's the end of it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Americans in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again.
Well, neither will the 95 anarchist and communist and socialist and anti-American groups be ignored again. They're going to be watched around the clock. They've already caused mayhem in Washington, D.C. At least 95 of these vermin were arrested as these filthy lowlifes clashed with police, smashing windows around the nation's capital. They were pelting cops with bricks and rocks. The cops had to fire back pellet guns, tear gas, flashbang grenades. This is not Baltimore. This is Washington, D.C., and by the way, the MPDC is doing a fabulous job. My only wish is that they arrest them all before they really hurt somebody, because it's going to happen. One of them said, "We have no ideology. We're just here to fight," shouted a vermin wearing a black bandana over his face as he threw rocks at police. Another protester yelled, "Surround the police!" Several of these rats tossed several newspaper containers and trash cans into the middle of the street and set them on fire in order to build a barrier between them and the police. 95 arrested today. These are the type of, let us say, malcontents. Let's use a classy word. These are the malcontents that Hitler used to man the concentration camps. Let me put it to you that way. Many of you don't understand something that you should understand. These are not innocent college students who are upset with Donald Trump. These are malcontents who are malcontent in their hearts, malcontent in their minds. They are the losers of society. Nothing will ever work for them. And in such, they are a danger to the social order. Now, as long as they protest peacefully, they have a right to do so. But when they start to attack the police during an inaugural parade, no, they don't. Burn things, no, they don't. Throw rocks at police, no, they don't. Block the parade, no, they don't. These are the type of malcontents that Hitler gathered off the gutters of Germany to make them into guards in concentration camps. I don't think you understand that. The lowest of society was used in the beginning to man the concentration camps. That's who these people are. These are evil people, and they must be stopped. Before long, they will be stopped. And I want to ask you today, other than these left-wing fools who will be dealt with, truthfully, little by little, They'll all go home. They'll go back to living in their parents' basement and collecting their health care that Nancy Pelosi and Obama gave them until they're 28 years old. They have no jobs, no way to make a living, no skills other than disruption. Soon the money will dry up. The number one way to do this is to seek out the funding for these groups. Remember, they are all funded by organizations. All of these organizations are funded by an umbrella organization. Most of these umbrella organizations are funded by one villain. This villain must be investigated by the incoming Attorney General. This villain knows who I'm talking about. Everybody knows his name. The villain must be investigated by Jeff Sessions on day one. The villain and his rotten son on Park Avenue should be scrutinized and investigated by the IRS for every shady deal they've ever conducted. Only then will the villain stop funding these groups, and only then will we have relative peace in this country. We'll have more to say about this villain a little later on in days to come on the Savage Nation. There's Donald Trump now in the presidential limousine leading the parade, while the outgoing bum is enjoying his last ride to Palm Springs. He had to milk it. He had to milk it for one last ride on Air Force One. He had to milk that last ride, Obama. He had to jump on the plane. He had to go to Palm Springs. You know why? Because he had to milk the last dollar out of the American taxpayer. Never forget what he did to you. He added $10 trillion in debt to this government's bill. Did you hear what I just said? He came in with a $10 trillion national debt. It is now $20 trillion. Where did that money go? I'll make it easy for all of you supporters of Barack Obama. I'll make it very easy. Almost as soon as he became president, $500 million was given to a shady fake company in California named Solyndra. Do you remember what happened shortly thereafter? Do you know who the board of directors are for Solyndra? Do you know some of them were on the stage? Oh, yeah. Some of them are on the stage today. Some of them are senators. Some of them are congressmen. Some of their brothers and sister-in-laws run that company or ran that company. Another fake solar company. $500 million went missing 8 years ago. And the fake FBI went in and investigated by seizing the records almost immediately. Remember when the fake FBI went in? Right at the beginning, it was run by Eric Holder. The fake FBI under Eric Holder seized all of Solyndra's records. Nobody has told the American people where the $500 million went that went up in smoke. And that's only a spit in the bucket of what was stolen by the green gangsters under Barry Obama. $10 trillion. Where did that money go? Who got the money? Why have there been no investigations? My guess is Trump has more important things to do than look into these things, but I would not be surprised if Jeff Sessions does not investigate where that money went. And he ought to start with the Solyndra crooks in the San Francisco Bay Area. John on WABC, how do you feel today?
All right, Mike. Even though it's raining out, I can see the sunshine. And I can tell you one thing, Mike. You played a pivotal point in this election, because when Trump announced that he's running, the media went after him, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party went after him. They were savaging him. You had him on your show, and you were saying, listen to this guy. This guy's a patriotic American, and you are correct. We have to hold his feet to the fire. There's a lot of things we want done. We want done. We're not going to accept any kind of nonsense or any half of anything. We want the whole thing, because they put this guy into the presidency. And people have to realize there's a psychotic nature people have, and you understand this. When people knock you more and more, for some reason people want to do more for you. We have to make sure that Trump does not show this in his personality, in his dealings, or anything that he does in the next 4 years.
Not show what in his dealings?
Let's say these groups keep knocking. I notice people, when they get knocked by certain groups, want to do more for that group, even though that group wants to see the person.
Oh. In other words, when he gets criticized by the left, he might actually reach out to them because he's being pressured by them, is what you're saying.
Right, but not only pressured, in the person's own personality, they might want to show that they want to be liked by these people.
Well, that's right. That's why Trump reached out to so many leftists already. He was trying to get them in the tower, in the White House. That's what you're talking about. All of the sports figures, the idiots like the actor came in, Leon DiCaprio. He was trying to make them like him. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, but it could be two things. It could be just a show, which we don't accept, but we know it's part of the act, or he could actually, you know, try to make these people like him and start doing stuff for him.
Yeah, that is correct. You're 100% right. That is the danger, is that everybody wants to be loved, including presidents. And the only one who didn't want to be loved by half of America was the president who just left. He basically called us every name under the sun and put us down. Trump, on the other hand, is trying to reach out to everyone. That's his strategy, which is to get the opposition on his side. It may be a winning strategy in the long run. The problem is not so much that he gets them on his side, but that he starts to believe that their beliefs are valid. That's the real problem, John. John, listen to me. I'm going to put you on the list of the people who get the first copies of Trump's War. If you'll stay on the line, John, for being such a loyal listener from KSFO. In fact, I'm going to give it out today. For all people who get on the show, just make it a victory day for all of you. Anyone who gets on the show gets a free copy of Trump's War when it comes out. Thank you for calling from New York City. Let's go to Dallas, Texas on this day, this amazing day. Trump takes charge, 45th president, vowing a robust first 100 days. We're going to see everything that we asked for, I think. How about the Affordable Care Act? How about immigration? How about sanctuary cities? How about ethics measures? How about government reform? How about a hiring freeze on federal employees? How about American workers? How about labeling China a currency manipulator? How about allowing projects like the Keystone Pipeline to move forward? How about directing UN funding towards American infrastructure projects? How about turning back some of Obama's policies? Obama signed 19 new executive orders and reversed 9 of the orders signed by President Bush in his first 100 days. Did you know that? During Obama's first 100 days, Obama signed 19 new executive orders, new, and reversed 9 of the orders signed by Bush in his first 100 days. Let's see what Trump does in his first 100 days, because we all want him to do an awful lot. How do you feel today? You, the people who put him in power. KLIF, Renee, Dallas, Texas. How do you feel today, my friend?
Dr. Savage, I feel blessed. Do you hear me? My sister texted me and she said, you know what? I didn't care too much for Trump, but after hearing his speech, I so admire him. I told her, I said, I've been trying to tell you. And I'm going to continue to educate her with your book, Dr. Savage. I feel blessed. I mean, I'm walking today. The bums even seem like they're happier. It's a... Thank God.
You're not telling me there are bums in the streets of Dallas, are you?
Hello?
You're not saying that there are bums in the streets of Dallas, are you?
Yes, I am. But you know what? They're happy today.
It's funny. You're projecting your happiness. It happens to be true that when we're happy, dogs that are white look whiter. Dogs that are black look blacker. Bums that are unhappy look a little happier. The sky looks a little brighter. So you're having a very manic-y moment, Renee, because of the election of Donald Trump. Is your family on your side?
They are now. My mother has always been. She finally woke up. She finally woke up, and me and her, we watched the election. We stayed. We both cheered. We were happy. And then today, we both text each other today. I asked her, was she watching? She said, you know I'm watching. And Melania...
Renee, let me ask you something. Renee, as an African-American woman, what do you expect Donald Trump to do that would affect you personally?
Jobs. The economy.
Interesting. It really boils down to the economy, stupid, as they used to say. So you hope that by stimulating the economy, by bringing jobs back, by making the foreigners spend their money here, by building the factories here instead of shipping them off to Mexico or China, you feel that'll trickle down to people down in the on the working level, right?
Yes, sir. People like me. Thank God.
Well, wait a minute. I want to ask you something. I don't want to just run over this. What kind of work did you do that you would like to do again that you think you might do under Donald Trump?
Legal.
Well, what do you mean? You're a legal assistant or a lawyer or what?
Legal assistant. Paralegal.
And what? You're out of work right now?
No, I'm not out of work, but I'm underpaid.
So I don't want to delve into the details of what you get per hour. You feel that your wages will go up? Why would that be?
Because Donald Trump said that he he is going to make America great again. He's going to bring back jobs, living wages, wages that we can live on, wages that will allow me to buy a home. People like me who voted for him. And
wow!
Come out.
No, this is very interesting, Renee. It's easy to just listen to a caller and then go to the next caller, but I really wanted to hear from your heart what you're actually expecting. I would like to know how you, as a legal assistant, would directly benefit from anything that Trump does. How could that actually happen? Is what I'm trying to think.
Well, what I mentioned to you before, and I also forgot about immigration. I live in Texas. I'm ready for this border to be shut down. Don't let anybody in here anymore that doesn't belong in here. If you're not legal, don't come. Our state.
Okay. Well, that's pretty clear. How come we didn't hear from you before the election? I don't think MSNBC interviewed you.
But
I guess they didn't come outside your house with a camera. They didn't come outside your house with cameras from CNN and ABC and ask you how you felt about Donald Trump before the election, did they? But you sure have a voice on KLIF to Michael Savage and quite a big audience here. Renee, God bless you, and thank you for listening. Stay on the line. We're going to put you on the list, as are all callers going to be on that list, for the first copies of Trump's War, which are going to come out in early March. It's a very important book because it's a model of what he must be doing. It's good to have tears of joy, but now we have to get down and make sure that he does what he wants to do and not be blocked by those who don't want him to do it, you know. Now, what about you Never Trumpers? Jim, try to get some of the Never Trumpers up on the show. I want to hear how they feel today. Are they changing their mind now that they see that he's a human being without horns in his head? When they saw his beautiful wife who's going to restore the dignity of America again. Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you. I took a look at this woman. I did say it from the beginning. It is Jackie O all over again. We have Camelot all over again. A beautiful family. Forget race for 1 minute. Just a beautiful family with the kids. I didn't see any sour, angry faces sitting up there. No axes to grind. No rage. I don't think Melania is going to give a speech where she says, for the first time in my life, I'm proud to be an American. I really don't think I'm going to hear that. Do you? Okay, be here. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public.
Beautiful. Now, of course, the malcontents in the media attack Trump, the faker Upchuck Todd, the man with the fake beard and fake news, said that it was a divisive speech. Now, to the socialist fake newsers, of course it's divisive. They never heard anything like this, except on talk radio. We'll have that soundbite for you in the next hour, as you listen to the malcontents and the crackpots in the major media complaining that Trump's great speech, which united the nation, was divisive. They have everything backwards, which is, of course, why their girl Hillary lost. Well, we're celebrating today on the Savage Nation. We also have other sound bites. We have a special montage of Trump's appearances on the Savage Nation over the years, little tiny pieces you'll never forget. How do you feel now that Trump is sworn in? This is the Savage Nation. Also, in the next hour, Trump's enemies list. I have the names.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. It's time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget, that whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots.
That's well put. That's well put. I mean, look, let's face it. I don't think there are any lines from today's speech that will be remembered through time. I don't think it was that inspiring. What was inspiring is the death of socialism as we knew it in this country and the death of division as we knew it in this country. That's what will be remembered. Not so much the man, but what the man's message is, which is that the people have had enough of those things. And yet today, the ABC News outlet said Trump's speech carried anti-Semitic overtones because his inaugural address used a loaded term. See, they're always looking for loaded terms. And ABC's journalist, so-called Terry Moran, said that there was a loaded term that carried overtones from the 30s when an anti-Semitic movement blamed Jews for global problems. And Moran argued, it's a loaded term in American history. And I guess the term that he doesn't like is America First or something like that. Not to be outdone is the Shady Anti-Defamation League, an all-around slimy group, in my opinion, because the ADL argued that Trump borrowed America First language from Nazi-friendly Americans in the 1930s. So there they go again. Not to be undone is the unhinged MSNBC's Chris Chill-Up-His-Leg Matthews, who said the Trump inauguration speech was Hitlerian. That's right, he would know best what Hitlerian is. MSNBC's Chris Chill-Up-His-Leg Matthews said today that Trump's address was both Hitlerian and meant to mimic Russian President Vladimir Putin. This is insanity. You got to understand these people are exhibiting a form of paranoia that we have known them to be living with for their entire tenure. So here's Matthews, a former speechwriter for President Jimmy Screw-Up Carter, saying, well, what if you're Putin? You're probably pounding the table saying, that's what I've been saying, Russia first, Russia first. This is what MSNBC has come down to. So, yes, the left is unhinged, but the question is, you, the American people who elected him, how do you feel today? Do you feel differently today? I'd like to begin on the East Coast right now on this great radio program in New York City on WABC, Greg, Line 5. How do you feel right now?
Yeah, you know what? I feel chastised, Michael. You were right. I was a never Trumper. I was a Mitt Romney guy, a Jeb Bush guy, a Kasich guy, and unfortunately, I voted for Hillary Clinton. And now I feel happy, A, because most importantly, I think jobs are going to be created, but B, I see the viciousness in New York City. I live here in Manhattan. Every person you run into is just nasty and so bitter. I was talking to a woman the other day. I actually told her I voted for Hillary Clinton, but I didn't agree with her that Trump was, quote, coming out to get the gays.
Well, there's a streak of paranoia in much of the left, and they're exhibiting their paranoia. Many of them believe that Trump was going to build concentration camps for gays, lesbians, blacks, Hispanics, Muslims. You fill in the blank. That's how crazy they were. They were actually blogging things like that. They're insane. Most of them are living in their own bubble of paranoia, and they feed each other this madness, and then they start to believe it. They actually believe these lies. Yes, the hatred is palpable in New York City. The hatred is palpable in San Francisco. We understand that, but they're going to have to get used to it. They lost. It's over. Obama's taking his last free ride to Palm Springs. It's a new world order right now, and it's not being run by them. They're just going to have to get used to it, and they're going to have to get in line, and they're going to have to swallow real hard as they hear patriotic and God-related themes for the next 4 or 8 years. So how are you going to live now as a never-Trumper who sees Trump? Are you glad he's president? How about your friends and family? How do they see it?
I think they're kind of like me. You know, they didn't like some of his insulting ways, et cetera, et cetera. But I think they think now that the economy is going to get revived and jobs are going to be created.
So it's very interesting. You're the second or third caller who's calling saying you're happy because you think that good times are here again, that he's going to actually be good for the economy. You're hoping that that's the number one issue, right?
I'm looking for a job myself. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's as real as that. It's as real as that. We know that Obama didn't produce any jobs, that's for sure. He spent $10 trillion and no one knows where the money went. Did you hear what I said, that there was a debt of $10 trillion when he took office and now it's $20? Where did that $10 trillion go? You certainly didn't get any of it.
Yeah, exactly. But
maybe you ought to look into Charles Schumer's friends. Did you happen to hear Schumer's shameful speech today introducing the vice president? Did you happen to hear that?
No, I just kind of saw him with his reading glasses.
It was an embarrassment to think that you people of New York would elect a man of such divisive tones as Charles Schumer. Greg, I'm going to send you Trump's War when it's out. Stay on the line. Speaking of Charles Schumer, it's important that I play a piece of it because I couldn't believe he was going to be he was up on that stage. But today, he embarrassed himself and America. As they gave him the floor to the world, Chuck Schumer did what he does best, which is shoot himself in the foot. Listen to clip 12.
And we can gain strength from reading our history and listening to the voices of average Americans. They always save us in times of strife. One such American was Major Sullivan Ballou.
Here we go.
On July 14th, 1861,
are you believing
when the North
this?
And South were lining up.
Can you believe this lowlife?
A time when our country was bitterly divided.
This human salami.
The future of our country was at a nadir.
Oh, shut up.
Major Ballou.
Just shut up. Schumer, go have a knish somewhere and stuff your mouth with a potato knish. It's 2017 and Schumer's bringing up the Civil War. This is all they know. This is their stock in trade. That's all they have known. That's how they get where they are, by dividing people, by stirring up the masses, by turning people of color against white people. In plain English, that's how Schumer got where he is. That's how Schumer stays where he is. Now, you have to hear Obama, as he appeared on Fox News, where he says in plain English for everyone to hear that Michelle and I have really been milking this goodbye thing. You're not going to believe it. Listen to him speaking the truth for the first time in 15.
Michelle and I, we've really been milking this goodbye thing.
Okay, so, I say goodbye already. Good riddance. Get out of here. Go! Go play golf in Palm Springs. So, how do you feel is the issue? I'm going to keep asking how you feel, because that's all that matters to me. What is the one thing that you want to see happen most during Trump's presidency? What do you think his first executive order ought to be? These are important questions. Do you feel better that Trump is president or that Obama is gone? Think about that one. Never mind Hillary Clinton. Do you feel better that Trump is president? Or what is actually making you feel better, that he's president or that Obama is gone? Besides Barack Obama, who did the most damage during his administration? Who do you think was the most unhinged of all of his appointees? KSFO Brian, line 4, how do you feel today?
Oh, Mike, I am so happy. Forgive me for I cried through the speech. I lost it all with NAFTA. I used to be an engineer, but I didn't have a degree, and I got stuck in Mexico for 2 years. And guess what I did for 2 years? I trained some guy in Mexico to do my job. They sent me home. And I didn't have a job anymore, and I've been landscaping and. Whatever.
So, Brian, you hope that the jobs will come back to America again, in plain English, correct?
I called a recruit. I've been calling recruiters all the time. I called yesterday. They got a job for me.
How old are you, Brian?
56.
Yeah, you're the target of Obama. You were the target. White guy, professional, no connections, no political status. You were the target of the Obama administration. They kept saying old white guys are finished. They're dead. Do you remember how many times you heard that? White people are finished. How many times did you hear that over the last 8 years? You were the target. You were targeted by this last administration. Now, the question is, if Trump builds that wall with Mexico, how will you get your job back? How will you get a job in plain English?
They're bringing all these jobs back to Michigan. This recruiter can't find enough people. And when I call them, you can hear the joy of his voice to have an older, experienced person that doesn't have to be trained, because I trained all these college guys.
Wait. I'm trying to understand. You've gone to a recruiter who has said he needs people right now?
Oh, yeah. He's even asked me, how far do you want to drive? I would drive all day to get to a job. You kidding me?
Where do you live? You're listening online. Where are you? What city are you in?
Detroit.
Okay. Oh, the great Detroit, the genius WJR, right. Terrific. So now you're listening to me online on KSFO. You spoke to a recruiter, just to get this clear, in Michigan. You told him what your skills are. He said he has a job for you?
Got several jobs for me. I get to pick.
This is all because Trump has already thrown down the gauntlet and said he's going to stop the bleeding of jobs to Mexico. Suddenly they're hiring in America, in Detroit again? Is that what you're saying now on the show, Brian?
Yeah, it's the greatest thing ever. I lost my house. I lost everything.
That's unbelievable. I don't mean that you're not believable. What I'm saying is that you went through this and you think it's over now, that the nightmare is over.
Yeah.
Well, man, I thank you for listening to the show online. I'm sorry I can't be heard in your market right now. I did my best, but here we are. We're still going strong on the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-407-2822. We'll be here to take your calls on this glorious day on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Protesters started a big fire. As Trump leads a parade through Washington, D.C., the vermin have done what they do best, which is destroy things. They create nothing. I have no idea why they were not preventively detained. They have signaled what they would do. They have said what they would do. They have said that they're domestic terrorists. Their own literature says that they're out to destroy and disrupt. There is no reason they should not have been arrested by the Department of Homeland Security. My guess is this will all come to an end very, very soon. This will be over. Once that imposter Jay Johnson is gone from DHS, once we have a new house in the FBI, these days will be behind us. I certainly agree that people have a right to protest. They have a right to use forceful speech that people don't agree with. But when you cross that line and you start fires, you throw rocks at police, all I can say is you're now crossing a line into lawlessness. You are back into the 1930s, and you must be treated as such. That is going to happen. WABC Doug, how do you feel today? Who did you vote for?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm hopeful that some of Trump's initiatives and policies will actually help the economy, but I'm balanced. I'm more worried. I'm a conservative Democrat. I held my nose and voted for Hillary, and very reluctantly. But here's the problem. I mean, you do speak about liberals tend not to be objective, and then you get this guy. I mean, I feel bad for him. He's crying on the phone, and you know, Trump's going to bring his job back. And I really feel, to a degree, and I'm hopeful for Trump, I really am, that here he is promising $1 trillion in stimulus funding. We cry about Obama's debt. He's going to double the national debt.
You're right. Money. That, there you go. Well, now you understand why I said in my opening monologue that we must remain vigilant. I'm not here just worshiping Donald Trump. I hope you understand that.
No, I know, but I just think your audience, and I think a lot of Trump voters, are just unrealistic. It's like Trump is giving jobs.
I understand. He is not God. The world's not going to be immediately better in many ways, but you know, in some ways it's already better. When you listen to the speech this morning, if you listen to Schumer, bringing up the Civil War, to understand we're not going to have to listen to this rubbish as though we're a bunch of racist goons for the next 4 to 8 years. That unto itself makes it a better nation, not to be put down every day for something we never did. Doesn't that strike you as a change for the good?
Yeah, he is kind of like a political clown, even though he's got some ideas I agree with.
Now, speaking about the caller from Detroit who was crying, he actually said that the recruiters told him they can give him a job. They asked him how far he wants to go in traveling. They gave him they offered him a job. He already said they're rehiring because Trump put a stop to the jobs going to Mexico. I don't think you heard him. He said he doesn't think he's going to have a job because of Trump. He's already been offered one because of Trump. He said the recruiters in Michigan are looking for skilled men like him. I don't think you heard the whole call.
I admit I was put on hold by your call later.
All right, well, that man said, I asked him, why do you think you're going to get a job? And he said, I already have one. He said the recruiters in Michigan, where he lives, can't get enough men like him to fill the jobs that they're suddenly looking to fill in American companies, because the American companies are scrambling now for skilled American men who were laid off during those last 8 years. So it's already changed for the better for guys like him who had his job stolen in Mexico. Listen, I hear what you're saying, though. The most important point you raised that I agree with is that something I said earlier, and Trump would probably agree with me, is that we reserve the right to be critical supporters. We put the country in his hands today, and he expects us as the people to hold him accountable. He even said that. Well, my friends, another $1 trillion in debt may not be the best answer. Okay, that's what you just said. I agree with you. This is the Savage Nation. We'll continue our coverage of the inauguration and take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Well, I don't think you know this, but in his last major act as Presidente, Barry Obama commuted the sentence of 330 drug dealers. He did that last night. Did you know that? Raise your hand if you knew that Barry did that. As the snake left, he released 330 federal inmates convicted of drug crimes on Thursday, bringing the number of commutations signed by this snake to 1,715, more than any other president in U.S. history. Obama ordered free 568 inmates who had been sentenced to life in prison. He was trying to straighten out the injustice of the sentences that were imposed in these many situations, said his spokesmouth. Now, my friends, think about what I just said to you. In his final act as president, the snake, who was now dining at 38,000 to 40,000 feet in Air Force One, feasting, getting his last meal out of us, with his entourage, in his last act, he commuted 330 drug sentences. This is what he did. Why would he do that? Why? Because he can. And so he did. And so what can we expect on the Donald Trump? What is it that you want Donald Trump to do? What is it that you want to see happen most during Trump's presidency? What do you think his first executive order ought to be? I think these are important questions, and we'll take the calls, because by taking the callers, we're going to hear the voices of America. We already heard a man call from Detroit, Michigan, listening to me online on KSFO online, who was crying on the air, 52-year-old white man, an engineer. He was forced to work in a factory in Mexico. He was forced to train Mexicans to take his job, and then he was thrown into the street. He was crying because he lost everything. He lost his house. And now he's back in Michigan, and he said the employment agent told him that he can pick anywhere he wants to live. They need him. He was crying for joy. He said they can't even find enough skilled workers in America right now. So it's happened already. The companies are already falling in line. They're terrified of what Trump is going to do to them in terms of taxation and penalties if they continue to bleed jobs. So they're bringing the jobs back. They're bringing the factories back. And as such, jobs are already coming back. That's the whole point. It's not hyperbole anymore. The jobs are coming back. Do you understand that? And for people who lost their livelihoods, this means everything in the world. KSFO, Steve, line 5, your observations today on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, this is a true honor. I have listened to you since you did your night show over on this side of the country.
Yeah, that was a tough show.
This is a great day for our nation. I love my country, and this is a great day for it. I get together with some buddies of mine, and we sit and we talk about it at a pub once a week, and we watch this election. We saw the divisions going, and we just kind of held tough because we knew Donald Trump was going to do it, and in the end, he did. And to hear Chuck Schumer today, I was in my car driving, I heard Chuck Schumer. Every divisive thing that has come up, he had to do it. This is a peaceful transfer of power.
You know, Schumer is a disgrace. He actually hit a new low. I always had a low opinion of him. I thought he was the type of New York lawyer that I ran away from. And unfortunately for us, there he was on the stage introducing the vice president, the incoming vice president, and he embarrassed himself by bringing up an unknown individual from the Civil War period. Now, what in the world can that do to advance the issue of racial harmony? Nothing. All it can do is divide us. But this is what the left has been doing, which is divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And I heard the Schumer speech. It will go down in history as the most divisive speech of the day. There's no question about that. Steve, I'm so glad you've listened to me from the beginning. You're talking about the night show on KGO here in San Francisco?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's only 22 years ago. Well, I'm still going. I can't say I'm going strong, but I'm still going. And I think it's been a very good run and a very good fight. And frankly, I think that we've achieved an awful lot in having Obama lose 1,000 seats by having the American people think for themselves about what the left was really doing. You know, the left kept saying we're for the middle class and we're for jobs, but everything they did were killing jobs and killing the middle class. And that is because there's a fundamental flaw in what they're saying. The left wing exists to destroy the middle class, not to help the middle class. I don't think that the average guy out there understands that the Bernie Sanders of the world destroy jobs. They destroy businesses. They destroy the very middle class that they pretend that they're representing. And I think that maybe slowly but surely America will become politically a little more aware of what the left wing is actually about, which is killing jobs and killing the middle class, creating a two-class society, the very rich and the basically dependent class. That's exactly how it was under communism, the power structure and the very poor dependent upon the state. That's what Chuck Schumer was doing. Steve, I'm going to put you on the list, the good list, to receive the first copies of Trump's War. For the rest of you out there, as I said earlier, it will be out the end of February. It should have been called My War by Donald Trump, but he didn't write that book. I channeled Donald Trump, and I wrote it. It's called Trump's War by Michael Savage. And I believe we're going to have to keep him, let us say, pointed in the right direction. Okay, here's a great call coming up out of Georgia, WCFO. Faith, tell us what happened. Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's a great day. I'm so excited and motivated. Very emotional today as I watched the inauguration with other mothers. I speak from a different demographic, and we decided as a couple that we would not have another baby unless Trump got in, because we felt like it was irresponsible as parents to bring another life into a socialist-leaning government. And I feel like a lot of middle-class families felt like we can't afford health care. Things are leaning in the wrong direction, but now there's hope, and we are rejoicing and dreaming again about growing our families.
Did you say you got pregnant once you knew Trump won?
No, we're going to try.
Are you going to name the baby Michael, or what are you going to name the baby, Michael or Donald?
Neither.
Well, whatever you do, I'm pretty sure you're not going to name him Muhammad.
No, that's
Well, Faith, God bless you. I hope the baby is a beautiful baby, and may your first child be a masculine child. Actually, it's not your first child. Thank you so much. Now, there's so much more I want to talk about, but I'm sure you're dying to get on the line. There's something I must play for you. Jim Verdi, who's the call screener, one of the two producers in Dallas, put together a wonderful piece on me and Donald Trump that I think is worth playing right now. Get a presidential hot dog before my birthday. Is there any more? That's pretty good. That the whole thing is nice. The guys did a very nice job. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for getting some of the highlights. Well, what a change after 8 years of I and me. Today we heard the leader of our nation talking about you and we. Isn't that great? From I and me to you and we. Sadly, the look on Michelle Obama's face said an awful lot about the outgoing administration. She was a stone. She did not smile. She expressed no emotion. It was actually frightening to look at the contempt on her face as Donald Trump arrived on that stage and took his rightly place in the world. In fact, when Donald Trump took apart the Obama's agenda piece by piece in a speech, it was quite an amazing thing to watch Obama's jaws clench. But the fact of the matter is, they lost, and they're doing nothing but showing their bitterness. They seem to be getting ready to go to work for the mobs in the streets of miscreants and losers who cannot believe they can no longer have their way and who now hate that they heard words about being proud to be an American. The speech that Trump gave was one we have not heard in a very long time from the leader of our nation. Not only did he speak about the love that we all share for this nation, the greatness it once held in the world, and the greatness we all hope it will hold again, you actually heard a lot about God, how God has blessed this nation. It was almost a squirming moment to hear it coming from a president, to be honest with you. It was hard to believe that we could actually hear the word God spoken by a president again after so many years of atheism and sort of anti-Godism. I'd like to find one of the sound bites, if we can find one, where Donald Trump does refer to God. He did the Red Blood of Patriots, which we played. No, I don't know. Now, do we have a God piece? Well, play the God piece. You got to hear this if we have it. If not, it's okay. I didn't ask for it before.
The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable.
That's true. That's true.
There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
Can you believe this? Do you know what this is doing to those ponytailed professors at Berkeley and NYU and Harvard? Can you imagine the distemper they are feeling? Now, I'm nothing against ponytails. I happen to have one myself. But I use it more as a camouflage than anything else, is to throw people off. They think I'm one of them. And often they come up not knowing who I am and expose themselves to me politically. It's quite a pleasure. It's good to walk amongst the common people and not be understood, let me tell you. But Trump also said something about Islamic terrorism, something we haven't heard from Barry Hussein Obama ever. He wouldn't ever mention the word Islam, Muslim, Islamism, ever. No matter how many bombs went off, no matter how many people were killed, no matter how many people screamed Allah Akbar as they machine-gunned innocent people, the outgoing president of the United States, Barry Obama, never ever said Islamic terrorism. But Trump is not afraid of that. Listen to clip 11. It's an important one.
We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate completely from the face of the earth.
Well, there you heard it. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. And quotes from President Donald Trump's inauguration speech that you may not have heard. Some of them you heard, but But he said this, every decision on trade, taxes, foreign affairs, immigration will be made to protect American families and workers. He said the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential, this American carnage stops right here and stops right now. When has Obama ever mentioned the gangs that have taken over so many parts of so many cities? Never. He also said, when you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. That's a nice line. That's a pretty good one. I never heard that one before. He said, January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again, and his oath was an allegiance to all Americans. He also attacked Congress. He said, for too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have bore the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. That all changes starting right here and right now. He then repeated his phrase, from this day forward, it is going to be only America first, America first. We'll bring back our borders, jobs, and our dreams. So he then talked about trade, taxes, foreign affairs, immigration. He said all these things will be made to protect American families and workers. Well, he's got a big agenda. He's got a huge opposition. But one thing he has that his opponents don't have is you, the American people. We are behind him. We're going to support him every step of the way. We're going to help him in his war against these, let us say, enemies of the middle class. And we're going to talk about America's borders, language, and culture as long as I'm on the radio. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, on this glorious historic day when socialism has been driven from America, at least temporarily. All of the socialist proponents and prophets are now in retreat, and the proponents of naked capitalism are now on the march. In plain English, that's what happened. And that's why you see so many boohoo faces in San Francisco and New York. They cannot believe it. God is also back, by the way. Yes, God is back big time. New president mentioned God quite a few times. And I want to refer to my Bible, which has too many Post-its in it. It's reaching a saturation point where what's the point of putting in any more Post-its when you can't find anything except the Post-its? So it's not that I'm a real believer in everything that you may think. I'm a holy roller. I'm not. I told you I go in and out of that stuff because I just the way I am, I'm pretty cynical. But when I refer to my Bible, I often turn to certain passages, including Isaiah. And Isaiah was a prophet who, in his time, if there had been a Marconi, would have been a talk show host. Instead of just being a cranky old Jewish guy walking around in the desert complaining about everything, he would have had an audience of millions of written best-selling books. But Isaiah wrote some very interesting things. And one of the things he wrote, which I've quoted many times on the Savage Nation, where he says, as for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that that is not what we lived through for the last 8 years? How many times have I told you a sorority was running America? And that Obama was very much a bystander to what was going on. One thing about Donald Trump, whether you like him or you don't like him, he is an alpha male. He is a bull mastiff. He is a restoration of American masculine pride. Whether you like it or not, that's the undertone of what's going on right now. And so, on that note, we begin the hour of the Savage Nation, the third hour. Let's look at the length of inaugural addresses. Donald Trump gave a 60-minute speech. That's actually on average. I thought it was shorter than most. I thought it was going to go on. The longest was not Barack Obama. Obama gave a 19-minute speech in 13, a 21-minute speech in 09. Bumbler Bush gave a 16-minute speech. Bumbler's father gave a 15-minute speech. Bill Clinton, 22 minutes. The second time, and Bill Clinton, 14 minutes the first time. For those of you who keep these kind of things. So Trump's 16-minute speech was within the realm of a rather short speech. Now, the shortest speech at an inauguration was that of George Washington at the second inauguration, 2 minutes long. The text was 133 words. That would have been nice. The longest speech was William Henry Harrison. Never heard of him. Well, he's a president. He delivered the longest inaugural address of all, 105 minutes during a snowstorm, and he died 1 month later of pneumonia. Very interesting piece of history. But what a change, as I've said before. After 8 years of I and me, today we heard the leader of our nation talking about you and we. What a big difference that is. And if you care to make history in radio, that is, in local radio or national radio, and get your voice out there on this day, because there's only going to be one inauguration today and only one inauguration this year. There's only going to be another one in, four more years from now. We'll have another one. Let's hope it's Donald Trump, if he does the job he was sent to Washington to do. If you want to make history, the phone number is 855-400-7282. The question to you is the same question to you now. How do you actually feel now that Trump is inaugurated? I heard so many crazy conspiracy theories that I was getting angry at some of the people who were sending them to me. Crazy stuff. Things that would be done, and Obama would keep power, and Trump wouldn't take office, and this and that. I said, stop it. Stop sending me this garbage. We just had a very orderly transition of power. That's a beautiful thing. But how do you feel? That's what I want to know. I really want to know how you feel. I'd love to hear from people who didn't vote for him. That would be the nicest thing. I want to hear you. I don't mean you're going to call. I'll bet you some of you are going to call and say you don't feel as bad as you're afraid. For example, here's a caller out of Mississippi, WKLQ Radio. Tony, line 3. Go ahead, please, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Tony. Yes, Tony, go ahead, make your point. Thank you.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, hi. I'm from Michigan. I believe I was misunderstood. I'm from Flushing, Michigan. I'm so excited that we have a new change. I voted for Barack Obama 2 times, back to back. I'm a black male. My mom tried to talk me out of it, but I totally disagreed with her at the time. Now I've turned a complete 360. I totally see what's going on, and I just want to say I'm just disgusted with what I've seen from this past president, not reaching out to our black youth, encouraging this sense of entitlement with welfare. I'm an educator, so I see in the inner city schools.
Yes. I hear you. You actually see what's going on. You're not one of the brainwashed masses. I get it.
Oh, wow. It's just amazing. These parents are laying around having kids, and they're getting paid, and they're driving Hummers. I'm a computer programmer also. I went into education because my job was sent overseas by General Motors. I was a mainframe programmer at Electronic.
Oh, well, you may be one of the lucky ones. Did you hear the caller in the last hour who called crying, the 52-year-old man? Who had been an engineer in Mexico because a factory was shipped there from Michigan, and he had to teach the Mexicans how to do his job, and then they fired him. And he said he went into an employment agency in Michigan, and they can't get enough workers right now. They're dying to find educated people with skills like yourself, Tony.
Oh, my goodness, Michael. GM had us training programmers in Russia, in Moscow, to program COBOL JCL systems. And we knew our jobs were... they were numbered, so I had to change my career. But I'm just disgusted with this arrogant leader that's just leaving. He's not humble. I'm just really disgusted. Not reaching out to this black youth. He had a really good opportunity to tell these thugs to pull up their pants, go to school and apply yourself. Stop blaming whites for what you don't have.
But now, you said something that I missed. Did you say something about working in Russia? Is that what I heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What do you mean? You worked for the Trump administration to hack into the... I'm joking. What did you do in Russia?
Well, I didn't work there, but we trained a team of programmers from Moscow because GM wanted 24/7 support of their system. So, we had to do it. And the writing was on the wall. We knew that we were going to lose our jobs. you know, those...
Well, Tony, it's a new day. Let's hope that Trump is unable to enact what he said he would. Look, some jobs have already come back. Companies are flooding in and bringing in jobs with them. There are companies who said they're not moving factories out of the country. This is definitely going to be a positive stimulus for jobs and such. And I think maybe you may have a bright future all over again, especially since you're a computer programmer with skills that are going to be needed. I think you're going to find what you're looking for.
Michael, I just want to say this. I am sick and tired. I have a hard time believing that Dr. King would support this guy that was in office. Going around blaming whites for something that happened 200 or 300 years ago is not going to solve anything. I am sick and tired of all this violence and nonsense, all this ignorance, and these people that are walking around with their pants down. They can't articulate themselves because they were class clowns in school. And now they want handouts. It just disgusts me. And I wanted to put a Trump bumper sticker on my car, but I could not do it.
No, you'd be, your car would be trashed. I get it. It'd be like putting a Trump sticker on a car in San Francisco. I tried it for a while, but I really respected my car too much. Listen, you'd be a great guy to work for the Department of Education. I'm telling you the truth. You sound like a guy who should be recommended to the Trump transition team as somebody who should work for the administration. I think you'd be great in this administration, don't you? You'd fit right in, Tony.
Well, thank you.
Well, Tony, I'm going to say something I really shouldn't say, but I'll kind of hint at it. Will you please leave your email address with the guys, and I will forward your name and address to some people. Maybe they'll do something. Can't promise, don't know. What a great call that was. It was an amazing call. Really, really wonderful. Black man, lifelong Democrat, excited by Trump presidency. Well, my friends, let's go to the rest of the callers here. Bruce on WDRC Radio, line one. What are you feeling today?
Dr. Savage, I started off as a naysayer. I told people that P.T. Barnum said there was a sucker born every minute, and that's what was happening when they went for Trump. And my friend convinced me to go to a rally in Lowell, Massachusetts, and there was a gentleman there, a Marine, who had burns over 70% of his body. I was a hospital corpsman for 14 years, and I sat down with him afterwards, and I said, what do you see in this Trump? And he said, I see hope. I see prosperity. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I get my care through the VA. Mm-hmm. The thing I'm most grateful for today, I can live now. I went to my doctor in December because I'm having horrible dizzy spells. She ordered an ultrasound of my carotid arteries. They booked me for the first week in April, and they said I wasn't eligible for vouchers because I live within a 50-mile radius of a VA center.
Well, is that going to change under Trump?
I believe what he says is true. When he said he's going to open up the greatest institutions to his veterans, like the Mayo Clinic, like Mass General. I believe him. I feel it. When I was
that's beautiful. Well, look, I would love to hear the rest of this because it's very inspiring. But I'm so short of time, and there are so many people dying to express themselves on this historic day. Bruce, thank you. I'm going to put you on the list to receive the first copies of Trump's War when it comes out by me at the end of February. 855-407-2822. We're taking your calls on how you feel today and whether it's changed your feelings in some way. One last caller before I go to a quick break. Jeff on KF. Jeff's excited. They're fighting over the telephone in Jeff's house. All right, let's go to break. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Tom Ford, not jerk. Tom Ford wouldn't dress the first lady. Go dress your pet piglet. Her dress is by Ralph Lauren, I think. Is it Ralph Lauren? I think. It's gorgeous. Ivanka's dress, stunning. I mean, really great clothing. What class is coming back? What a pleasure. I don't think they'll get off Air Force One wearing sweatpants. Something tells me when they return from a vacation, they're not going to be seen holding blankies and wearing like crumpled, dirty clothing, like they came in on coach on Delta. So definitely, there's going to return to a different dignity. Let's put it that way. Because I know, you know, you say a word like this, right? Oh, racist. No, it's not racist. I love Clarence Thomas. It's not about race. It's about class. And I got to tell you, we've lived through a pretty bad 8 years. Not only was he divisive. Well, okay, let me let it go. He's gone. He's still in the air. Isn't he still flying over to his golf resort over in Palm Springs? Anyway, it's a very big day. And the big embarrassment today is Chuck Schumer embarrassing himself by bringing up the Civil War. I don't care what the speech was about. It was inappropriate to bring up the Civil War during this inauguration. He did it only to bring up racial angst again. That's all he did. Again, the reference was to racial angst and division. And again, Schumer was talking again about immigrants, native-born, sexual orientation, the same stuff that the children are gagging on in our colleges. There he was. And he used his opportunity to make an idiot of himself. But it's over. I don't think we're going to hear much of this anymore. The oddest part of the inauguration today for me, and quite telling, was Nancy Pelosi. As Trump, as he was sworn in, he used a number of different pens. And people were grabbing for the pens. He was giving out some of the pens he used. And like a grubber, she reached across the table and asked for Trump's pen that he had used to sign one of the documents in a fawning nun Pelosi-esque way. Suddenly she shifted from the Nancy Pelosi we know, the cuckoo clock Pelosi, to a plain old yenta from San Francisco who wanted to add another presidential pen to her collection. It was something to behold, I gotta tell you. So this is a good day. I know many of you are unhappy, but many of you are very happy. And I'd love to hear from the unhappy ones, but look, they're not calling. I'm getting the happy ones. The malcontents are, I don't know what they're doing with themselves right now. It was interesting so far on this show to hear people who didn't vote for Trump who are actually feeling good today now that he was, you know, sworn in. I think the high point today was the man from Michigan who had cried on the air. I mean, we better save that call, Robert, not to milk it for its inherent emotional value, but because there was a statement in there that no one ever heard. I hadn't heard it. He was an engineer in Mexico. He was forced to train Mexicans to take his job. He lost his job. He lost his house. Lost his family. He's been living in a virtual hell since all of that loss. And now he's back in Michigan, and he went to an employment agency who hires professionals, who hired him on the spot, and he said, "We can't get enough people to apply for the jobs that we suddenly have in America." I don't know if you heard that, but that's already a change that I heard on my own show, which I will not forget. In casual conversation, I'll bring it up again. So I am very optimistic that jobs will start to flow back. A general optimism will bring back. I would think that with the optimism, people are going to start to spend money again who own businesses. They're liable to start hiring people, taking a chance on the country, taking a chance on the economy. I mean, think about it. If you're a small business owner and you're just taxed to death here in California because of Moonbeam's Railroads to Nowhere, for example, and is paying for illegal aliens benefits, which they're not entitled to, wouldn't it be great if we saw a federal tax decrease for all of us? That would stimulate the economy. That would enable small shopkeepers to hire people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I think that that is going to happen. I think we're going to see a revival in the economy. The economy, the economy. At the end of the day, that's what most people wanted in Trump. They wanted the businessman to bring jobs back to America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The ceremonies on television, it's beautiful to watch the Trumps up in the viewing stand, and the parade goes by, and there went the New York Military Academy marching band, and he is so proud of them. Because that's his old alma mater, the New York Military Academy. It's pretty awesome to watch a guy who actually loves these kids in uniform. It's really beautiful. And so, again, God is back. It's okay to say the word God and quote God and I'm getting emails from the people that I communicate with, and one of the friendly emailers said, Michael, why don't you read Daniel 4:17, where he says in the Bible, the Most High has power over human kingdoms. He gives them to whomever he wishes. And then the interpretation is this. The emailer says, I believe that God gave Obama the presidency, at least in part, because America needed to go through the trauma of the reign of the Obamas and to experience the despair of losing our country in order to be motivated to fight for it by electing Trump. You never know what you have until it's gone. And in losing so much because of Obama, America at the last minute realized what it has. Obama changed us and made us appreciate what we have. And so Obama made Trump's election inevitable. That's a very positive way to look at those 8 years of trauma. But okay, people do take negatives and turn them into positives. I happen to agree with that. I've heard the same thing about other tragedies, and whether it's in personal life or the life of a nation, that people had to have this tragedy in their life in order to have what followed from that tragedy. I heard the same thing about Israel, by the way, the creation of the state of Israel. Because I've argued with religious people, and I said, what kind of God is it that would let the Holocaust occur and have 6 million people killed? Now, you know, it's a stretch, but I've heard them say, was it not for the Holocaust, there never would have been an Israel. I've heard that. I don't believe that. But nevertheless, that's what people will say about things like that. So, okay, the same thing can apply here. That's all. You know, whether you believe it is another story. Let us all have good days ahead of us. You know, I myself have not said what I feel today. It's now in the third hour of the show. I've played some role in the election of Trump. Let's just say some role. Even my greatest detractors will admit that. And everyone listening to this show who voted for Trump played some small role. But as the leader of a show I call the Savage Nation, I led many people who were not going to vote for Trump to vote for Trump. Some were going to sit out the election. They were conservatives but didn't believe in him. I said to them, it's the only shot we've got. The others can't win. They're not electable, and I still believe that. I think it's 100% true. None of them, and no matter how good they were, and some of them were really great men. They still are great men, but they couldn't have beaten Hillary for the reasons I had mentioned at the time. It's a shame none of them are really in his cabinet, by the way. That's an interesting one. I don't see many of them in his cabinet of the people who ran against them other than the doctor. But anyway, put that aside. I felt that the people that I swung in the direction of Trump made the difference. Let's put it to you that way. I mean, I'm just leveling with you right now. But I ask myself now, is my job done? I ask myself almost every night as I go to sleep and every morning when I wake up, almost the first thought I think of, am I like the proverbial salmon that has swum upstream to spawn and then to disappear? Because that's what I'm thinking about. In many ways, I think my job is done. I think that if you look at the arc of my career in radio, it began with a message no one had ever heard in this country. They never heard borders, language, culture. They certainly never heard those words put together that way, because I created them for the Paul Revere Society way back in 1994 on one of our membership cards. I was thinking about what it should stand for, and it was borders, language, culture. And it became the watchwords of this radio program, which has resonated for, you know, over two decades now, and made people think about, oh, yeah, yeah, borders, right, common language, English, yeah, culture, we have a culture. Right? It's our culture, the American culture, built upon the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Bible, for that matter, is the foundation of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, incidentally. And so that was our culture. So I preached that message almost every day, 5 days a week, except for the days I have for vacation and took off. I ate it, slept it, and drank it. And now I think it's over. What else can I do for you? Tell me what my role is in the media and on the radio from this day going forward, because I'm not sure what it is. I can say to you that it's to keep Trump's feet to the fire, to keep him pointed in the right direction, which I do believe. It's why I'm still writing Trump's War. It's the message that needs to be put out there now that he is president, because we already know he's being pushed to the left by those inside, the people that we know, the Republicans, and those who don't want things to change in this country, the lobbyists. We already see that happening. And I could say to you that I'm going to just spend the rest of my waking life complaining about the Trump when he moves to the left, but I'm not going to do that. I don't want to get up just to complain about Donald Trump. I helped put him where he is, and the rest is up to you. Now, this is not a speech of saying good night and good luck and I'm not going to be on the radio anymore. That's not what I'm saying. It almost sounded like that to me. But I'm not saying goodbye. I'm saying goodbye to all that. And it's a new beginning on Monday. I don't really know what that beginning is going to be. You have to believe what I'm telling you. I feel that my work is done. I feel that my political work is over. I think I have done what I set out to do. And I think that Donald Trump is now the man, the best man for the job, and that you, the people, are going to have to do the job with him, not me. And what the rest holds for me on radio or in life is up to someone else, not up to me. So let's take a couple of quick callers on the show right now and see what you have to say. Greg on KSFO, line number 3, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I think that what you do now is what you did when you had Trump on all those interviews. I listened to every single one of them. I mean, I was sold. You know, I was already convinced. But I thought in your interviews, you heard a completely different Trump. It wasn't the same Trump that you heard on TV, at the rallies. He was.
Oh, you mean when he spoke to me, there was a sort of camaraderie that you didn't hear anywhere else. I heard a lot of people say that you guys have a special relationship. I heard that. It sounded very familiar. But, hey, I don't know whether he was just saying it or he really felt it. I have no idea. I don't really know what he feels.
Well, I got the impression that he felt it. I mean, it was a conversation the two of you had. He was very real. He wasn't full of talking points. It was conversational. And I hope you have him back on your program again.
Well, I have been in touch with one of his great people, Hope Hicks. I'll mention her name. I frankly think she should be press secretary. I've been critical of the one who puts on costumes every other day and grandstands, who I think is an embarrassment to the Trump administration. And I know I've alienated her and probably a lot of people in the Trump administration already, but that's my nature. I'm a kind of guy who just speaks, you know, what I feel. I think that Hope should be the press secretary. She'd be a lot better than the one that he's picked. I was told that Trump, when he starts to do radio again, will be back on the show and that I'm on the top of the list. So we'll see if that happens. Look, I know he has to speak to the people eventually. He's going to have to come back to you. He's going to run into some strong headwinds when he tries to pass some of these bold, noble plans that he has. And he's got to go to us for his support, the grassroots. We are the grassroots, remember that. It's not the rabble in the streets anymore. It's us. It's the people who put him where he is. So thank you for your kindness, Greg. I'll put you on the list for Trump's war. And I invite the rest of you to check out what that book is about on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. I think it's a very, very important book. And frankly, I'm still working on it as we speak. WDRC, Margie, line 9, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, your job is not done. You need to keep us informed about what's going on in this country. You need to keep telling us the truth. We have a new commander-in-chief, and I have never felt so proud to be an American as I do today. I have felt the last 8 years of fear as far as where our country was going melt away, because I know that we're going in a new direction, and I love my country. I'm retired military. I'm concerned about our safety, and listening to President Trump today has given me a new sense of obligation and duty and honor to do what I can to help our soldiers, and I pray to God that the military and the police are going to be safe and that things are going to change, because this cannot...
Well, he's already put steel in the spine of the military. He's re-injected steel in their spines. The cops are not going to shrink from the vermin in the streets anymore for fear that some stinking jackal with a law degree from the Justice Department, who is the worst kind that there is in America, will jump down their throat and put them in jail for doing their job and protecting the streets and the people. So I think the police are going to be empowered. I believe the military is already empowered. I've got to see some heads roll in the military to really believe it. I've got to see him get rid of some of those deadbeats that Obama put in to poison the military before I see any changes. We're already on the way today. General Mattis was resoundingly approved today, or is on the way of approval, with very few people opposing him. Mattis is a true Marine, combat Marine, not like the stinking clown that's in there from Harvard, the physics professor, the pink tie, who said that the transgender surgery is the most important thing on his agenda. I mean, we're going to have a new climate in the military, a new climate in the streets, and for those reasons alone, the country is already stronger. I think people are going to put flags outside their house. I think they're going to be wearing flags on their coats again. I think there's going to be an all-around patriotism in this country that will become infectious. The very thing that has been suppressed for almost a decade or more will suddenly come back in America. And I want to thank you very much for your emotional call to the program today and for your service to this nation. That's a beautiful thing to hear. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, KLIF, great station. They take the full 3 hours of the show, God bless them. They know what's good. They know what's right. KLIF, line 7, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Derek?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Savage?
I'm yes, sir.
Listener, and I really, 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 really love your show.
All right. And how did I affect you with regard to Trump, if at all? If at all?
It's me. To understand my voting rights, understand my people, and understand everything in life that has to do with moving forward on this planet we live on. And I appreciate you. I love you because I have kids, and I hate that my kids have to come home and ask me, why are people doing this in the streets?
You mean the left wing rioters, the lousy groups?
Exactly. And I'm a black male, and I tell you, Mr. Savage, I stumbled on you in 2007, sitting in my truck one day. And I'm like, who is this guy? The next day, who is this guy? The third day, I know this guy. Because you are, Mr. Savage, a great American. And I love you, and I listen to you every day. And I'm just telling you, you're a great dude. You're a great dude, bro.
All right. Look, I love hearing things like this. It keeps me going. The truth is, it's listeners like you that make me get up in the morning and want to continue in this quest for, shall I say, a betterment of America. And I want to put you on a list, a good list, of people to receive the first copies of Trump's War when it comes out at the end of February. It's a very important book. I don't want to talk about it today other than to mention it, because you're going to see what's in it. You're going to see that already he's being steered in some directions that we already know may be a little wrong. I mean, let's be clear. And please, for God's sakes, you have to understand that you can't let yourself become one of these, let us say, worshippers of a man. He is only a man. And as such, he is going to be subject to all of the, let us say, influences that any man could be subjected to. We are his greatest influence. We are the very people he referred to today. We are the people he said he was going to give the government back to. So we have to insist that he secures our borders. He restores our, let us say, love for our culture, for our Bible, and for our language. Borders, language, culture. That's the whole job ahead for all of us over the next 4 years. But you know, before I take this break, and I know the show is coming to an end, I sometimes think, looking back at my whole life, that my whole life was created by God for today. I don't know how else to put it. I think men are born for certain things on this earth, and I think I was born to help see this day to fruition. And I'll be back to take your calls in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, as someone who has stood by Trump from the beginning while all others scoffed at him and only jumped on the bandwagon after he looks like he won the primaries, all I can say is sometimes words fail you and we have to turn to things greater than ourselves. And that is why I'd like to conclude this show on the inauguration day by playing at the end, Robert. I like to go out with Mozart's Requiem because it leaves me speechless. There are a few things on earth that leave me speechless. This piece of music happens to be one of them. Beethoven does it to me once in a while. This does it to me every time I listen to it. I become speechless. I cannot speak. It literally shuts my mind down. Why? Because it is so beyond the average human being. The mind that created this is so much greater than most of the minds that we have seen and will ever see in our lives that it leaves you numb and, as I say, speechless. And on this day, when America has finally changed course, we were sailing right into that iceberg. The iceberg was tearing the hull apart, and the dumb, crazed captain kept steering it to the left, not steering away from the icebergs of hate, malice, division, lies, cheating, abuse, but steering it into that iceberg, tearing one plate off the ship after another. And suddenly, out of nowhere, there came a man who we gave the power to grab the wheel of that great ship of state and steer it to the right, away from that iceberg. And in those notes, I'd like to return to the great music that I started to play before, Mozart's Requiem. Thank you for listening.